I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Monday. Thank you for making us part of your day with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'll have coverage of the Rangers as they take on the Angels.
Let's see what you did there.
Yeah. No, it's
the Rangers game tonight.
The Rangers. Yeah.
You do that with every matchup and just combine the mascot. Yeah. Save you like 5 seconds. Mm-hmm.
We'll have that coverage starting at 6:30. And the
Marlstros.
The Astralins.
That sounds like a put down.
They'll get started at 5:10 over on 100.7 The Score. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can access that at TT973.com or through the TT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. Gus, how you going?
Pretty good. You have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did. Didn't really do a whole lot. Fell down a few YouTube rabbit holes. Just kind of had a pretty chill weekend.
You had a good one yesterday that you texted me about. That was interesting.
Yeah, so I kind of somehow stumbled on some of the recorded lectures from the U.S. War College. And there was one guy talking about America's entry into World War One. And it kind of went, you know, it meandered, as I would guess most of those probably do. And he talks about the Lafayette Escadrille, which was a group of American pilots who went over to fly for the French Air Force in World War One before the U.S. entered the war. And their logo was, I'm sure, like, back then it was awesome. Like, I'm sure, like, all the kids wanted some Lafayette Escadrille gear, you know? Sure it was fire. A little bit problematic today.
On, like, a couple of fronts.
Because, you know, like, yeah. At first it had a Native American head, right? Italian alive, not, but still.
Kind of cartoonish. Yeah. A little bit cartoonish.
Little Redskins-esque.
Yeah.
And then on the headdress was a swastika.
Yeah.
Might be a little. This was pre-World War II, but yeah, still. So, yeah, couldn't... shouldn't rock around with a Lafayette Escadrille like T-shirt, even though the maybe premise is pretty dope.
Yeah, maybe just print it out if you're going to. Just Lafayette Escadrille and leave it at that.
This is about World War One. Please don't beat me up.
Right, yeah. You're probably safe. Might be two nerd historians looking at you across the room going, whoa, Lafayette Escadrille. And I, for the life of me, as soon as you texted that yesterday, I can see the scene in something. And I don't remember if the character, and I can't really remember, a documentary, movie, what, a TV show, whatever, but there was a scene having to do with Lafayette Escadrille and one of the pilots that had gone over there, and I can't remember, I can't even get my brain around the nature of the, you know, again, documentary, movie, TV show episode, you know, what was it? And I was oblivious to the logo, though, regardless. That was I'm burying the lead, but I was like, yeah, I remember that was on that show, you know, and I can't place it. I don't know if it was, you know.
And that's one of those itches, man.
That, oh, just, my gosh, yes, it's gnawing at me, yes, and it'll hit me. I mean, maybe. When it does, maybe 6 months from now,
you're going to shoot up in bed in like 2037.
You're going to get a text. Dickens, I figured it out.
Pretty interesting, because apparently, like, the big money folks back then would send them all kinds of money and just say, do whatever you want with it, because they were supportive of their efforts, like J.P. Morgan and people like that. Uh-huh. And, you know, they didn't really have anything else to spend it on, so they would just throw parties. And so the speculation is that's kind of the origin of kind of like, you know, American fighter pilot culture. How about that? We do have a little bit of business to attend to.
Uh-oh.
Because I just received two emails from myself. sending myself emails.
We had one nugget that we were waiting on today. Did we get it?
We did not. No. Back in July 12th, so in the heat of Big 12 Media Day, Brett Yormark / the Big 12, and I don't know exactly how this was presented, but there were multiple stories written about it at the time, that the Big 12 would announce its halftime performer for the Big 12 football championship game on August 12th, right? And we all made predictions. Clint predicted Jay-Z. I predicted Megan Thee Stallion. I think that you did,
yeah,
too.
You and I
we were yep, halfsies there.
Yep.
And Saturday came and went, and there was no announcement.
And it makes me I wonder if, A, we're the only ones
probably
anticipating this.
It's like there's like three Saturdays away from football, and you're obsessing over a freaking halftime act.
That's you promised.
Yeah.
or they haven't been able to talk Jay-Z all the way into it yet, but they're working on it.
Well, I mean, I guess one, if we were wanting to put on our little tinfoil caps and helicopters, you might be able to say, well, maybe it was Lizzo.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And maybe they've stepped away from that. But the key thing there was, in the context of that announcement, was them talking about appealing to Gen Z. We did this the other day.
Yeah, Gen Z.
Yeah, so trying to appeal to a younger crowd, so we don't think that was our motivation.
It's not Fleetwood Mac.
Right. And nor maybe, perhaps here, nor will it be, like pick a Texas country group.
If I knew any, I would name one.
Yeah, I know. Hog Mollies. It won't be the Hog Mollies. There you go. It won't be Josh Abbott. But that's...
won't be that Richmond, north of Richmond guy.
Mm-mm. There's no casting of aspersions there, but just in the wake of him, of Yormark sort of kicking that thing up, and his ties to Rock Nation, you and I were expecting it to be more, have a little more thump to it, I guess.
We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from PJ. Gentlemen, currently listening on my flight to Phoenix. AD, are we expecting some rankings bumps this week for Hammond, Davis, and Ofili? Cough twice, if I'm correct. I can just tell you. I think you'll see two tech commits, at least on Rivals. I can't speak to what 24/7 and On3 do. But at least for Rivals, I can tell you that you'll have two commits get bumped up from 3 to 4 stars. I don't think you'll have any commits go down at all, star-wise. I don't think Hammond's star ranking will change, but I guess I would plan on, or I would expect him to kind of go up a little bit in the position rankings. So all positive, all good.
Is there some significance to this week? Like, well, does Rivals, it happen every year in mid-August?
Rivals is updating their rankings for 2024,
and that's a fairly typical time of year for that.
Yeah, it's not like set in stone, like hey, August 14th or whatever. But typically, they do one kind of before summer, after summer, maybe mid-season, and then after, maybe even later in the season, and then like a final kind of wrap-up post All-Star events.
Got it.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. Time for some headlines. Season tickets for Texas Tech's men's basketball season have been officially sold out. This marks the fifth straight year the basketball program has sold out of season tickets. Pretty cool. This was announced earlier today. A record of 8,500 season tickets have been sold. The previous record was 8,150 in the 2021-22 and 2022-23 seasons. How about that?
Excellent.
And keep in mind, you have no idea who you're playing completely. Like, you don't know your full-on conference. You don't know the schedule
fans
yet.
Fans don't. Yeah.
Fans don't. Right. You don't know when you will play some of these Big 12 teams, and yet sold out. Dallas Cowboys and Zach Martin have reached an agreement on a reworked contract. His new deal will pay him north of $18 million in each of the next 2 years. Both years are fully guaranteed.
Say that dollar amount again.
North of $18 million in each of the next 2 years.
Got it. And both are guaranteed.
He was scheduled to make $13.5 million this year and $14 million next year. So I'm glad that he got more. I mean, that would have been hard to just survive on, really.
Feed his family. Well, he's one of the best
sure.
at that position. So that's probably a nice little addition to have walking through the camp, through the locker room door.
James Harden made some news earlier today in China. He was at an Adidas media event and said this, quote, "Daryl Morey is a liar and I will never be a part of an organization that he is a part of. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of." This was just days after the 76ers ended trade talks involving Harden. And, of course, Daryl Morey is the president of the 76ers. And, finally, retired NFL star Michael Oher, whose supposed adoption out of grinding poverty by a wealthy white family was immortalized, first in a book and then again in a movie, The Blind Side, petitioned a Tennessee court today with allegations that the central element of a story was a lie concocted by the family to enrich itself at his expense. How about that? You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com.
A couple of little nuggets over the weekend. Brandon Birdsoe got his first double-A start. We talked about him getting called up last week, but got a win in his first double-A start on Friday. So 1-0 for Brandon, five good innings, two runs, good and clean, pitching against Biloxi. And then over the weekend, Cape Cod wrapped up in their championship series. Gage Harrelson and Ryan Free were in the Cape all summer and were key parts of the Born Braves championship. Gage Harrelson with a nice running, kind of lunging catch on a rocket back through the middle. He played center field. And so he was the big highlight. It was Gage making this nice catch and then a big dog pile. So, and Free had pitched an inning or two or whatever earlier in that ball game. So good to see those guys have productive summers. Probably won't see a lot of Ryan Free this fall. I shouldn't say probably, but possibly a lot of times when those guys pitch deep into the summer, they won't do a lot of fall ball. But I think you know what you're getting in Ryan Free. So couple guys there getting some attention, and that'll set both of them up for draft stuff in a couple years for sure. Ryan Free next year and Gage, I guess, in 2 years. So, yeah, good stuff there.
Someone asked this, have they announced the concerts for Raider Alley?
No, sir.
So.
Or ma'am, sorry.
Right. Never can be too careful. So in the past, they haven't done like a whole like slate. Right, they haven't announced like the Red Raider Rally concert series. It's kind of been one at a time before each game, and I think part of that is due to availability. Some mm-hmm. of that stuff might be kind of a moving target, and so I would guess that, I mean, because week one you're in Laramie, right? So we're what 4 weeks out from your home opener?
Yeah, from the Oregon
give
game.
Or take.
Yeah.
So I mean, you might get an announcement about that game at any point, I guess. But I wouldn't expect some kind of like...
Yeah. Like the Today Show at the beginning of the summer will put out their whole little calendar for all their concerts, yeah. You know, usually later in the week. But the city series or whatever, the, you know, whoever it is, car, bank, credit card, whatever that's hosting it, yeah, these typically go on more of a week-to-week basis. And like you said, it could be an availability. I don't know how the timeline on that stuff works. If game time affects any of it, like, hey, it's going to be an 11 o'clock game, let's do this instead of that. That's probably a great point. But the point is,
of course, you know the Oregon game time.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that's I could totally see that maybe heading into even the Wyoming game, that's out there to gin up excitement. as if there's not enough already. That yeah, that's that first one I would think is, you know, they're free to book that one and free to announce it. I'm here for the happy news.
This,
looking forward to it.
On the chat line, I watched Barbie. It would have been better had the Mattel employee's name actually been Aaron Dickens, which I thought that they said. I chuckled the whole time envisioning Dickens being Will Ferrell's assistant. Highly disappointed it was actually Aaron Dinkins.
And he responds when he first meets him because he doesn't know his name. And he goes, "What'd you say, Aaron Dickinson?" And he just should have just stopped.
Right there, yeah.
Somebody has this. Dr. Gus, can the Diamondbacks bring up a player from the Amarillo Sod Poodles directly, mm-hmm. or do they have to go to AAA
nope.
first?
They can bring them up from AA. It happens. It happens often. And the key thing they'll have to do is most AA players are not on the 40-man roster. And so to get them on the 25-man roster, a.k.a. the big league roster, or 26 or whatever it is, they've got to also be on the 40-man. You bring somebody into the 40-man, you got to dump somebody out or put them on the 60-day DL or whatever. But, yeah, 100%. And the D-backs have a couple of highly regarded prospects in Amarillo, at least a couple. Most familiar to Tech fans would be good night. Big first baseman from Texas 2 years ago.
Frank Thomas.
New. That won all the awards. Ivan
Melendez.
Ivan Melendez, thank you. He's up there. Got called up earlier this year. And their shortstop is a guy named Lawler, who was their first round pick a few years back, maybe the COVID year. Him out of high school. And so they've, like I said, they've got a couple of highly regarded prospects. It's a little bit unconventional to see someone go from AA to the big leagues as opposed to AAA. Usually when that happens, it's an ascending prospect that's moving quickly. But, yeah, not out of the question.
Why is it that baseball takes so much longer?
It's a great question. It really is because we can talk in terms of the first overall pick needing a year and a half, 2 years. I mean, it would be more fun to hear Josh Young talk about that because Josh was drafted with all of the anticipation of, no, in 2021, this guy's going to be here. And he was on pace for that. Obviously, COVID got things a little wonky, and then he had an injury with the stress fracture in his foot or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, the canned answer, AD, is to talk about wood bats. But I think over since the late 90s when the bats were modified, and certainly since the teens, about 10 years ago when they went to that BB Core bat, which is the current version of the aluminum bats that college players and amateur players use, it's much more like wood than ever before. And there's more of these guys playing in competitive summer situations that use wood. I just talked about the guys, our guys playing in the Cape. And so I don't think you can just say wood bats and then let's go have lunch. You know, like this is decided wood bats. Go get a sandwich. I don't know. I mean, it's easy to talk about. I think a lot of pitchers need to develop the changeup because they've always been able to just use velocity and get outs.
Right.
Or a good breaking ball and get outs. And then the all of that evens out in pro ball. But, you know, why hitters need more time? I don't know. It's a good question. Like I said, you just gave me my first pitch luncheon question for Josh.
There you go. Here all day. Let's talk some apparel next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint, I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. You can also access that through the TT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. So we've covered this before a little bit. That Texas Tech's contract with Under Armour is, unless there's been some unannounced extension, is set to expire on June 30th of next year. Texas Tech signed a relatively short-term extension with Under Armour in 2020. In June, probably not a lot of appetite for kind of redoing that deal in that climate for either party. And so they kind of punted until 2024. There have been a lot of people talk about and ask about, hey, can you know, could Tech switch? Could they go to Nike? Could they go to Adidas? Could you do Pat Mahomes brand, whatever? Well, interesting. Kansas State is kind of facing the same scenario. They also had a deal with Nike, as it turns out, that expired in 2020. They negotiated a short-term extension, again, probably because you know, the pandemic was going on, all that stuff. And now their deal is set to expire in June 30th of 2024. And word from Manhattan is that K-State was not just super thrilled with the offer that was put on the table by Nike for their next deal. And now they are apparently leaning toward, I know Clint loves this, they're leaning toward Under Armour, which, you know, if you're a K-State basketball fan, terrible. There have been a lot of meltdowns in the last few days about this in certain purple sections of the internet.
Yeah, I've heard from the Kansas State basketball fans. There's been some angst about the switch.
Remember? And so, well, it just, if, is Under Armour really going to outfit three programs?
Three Big Ten teams?
In the Big 12? Right, because Utah?
It hasn't been their strategy to do that. They've kept their brand schools, I guess, separate. Virginia Tech, Auburn, Maryland. Right? Am I getting that right?
Auburn, Maryland, Wisconsin, Notre Dame. They had UCLA and Utah for a while together.
That's a pretty spread out map, but and obviously still, with us on there too.
But now you have Utah, you have Texas Tech potentially, and Kansas State potentially. And so I wonder, maybe we're guilty of connecting dots that aren't actually connected. But I wonder if this is maybe a sign that you aren't kind of tracking to re-sign with Under Armour.
Yeah, like some insider knowledge about that. Maybe some insider knowledge about the Under Armour deal. That the Red Raiders, hey, they're not going
to... Right, like the, Under Armour knows.
Yeah, that Under Armour knows that we're not going to be
so
in
they
there.
So
yeah.
They can maybe provide a bigger offer for Kansas State or something. I don't know.
This is just our conjecture, of course.
Sure. Well, and there's some opium there too.
Yep.
I think I'm ready to move on. I mean, because listen, I don't see a dime of that money. None of us do.
No.
Right. And I don't know that, you know, Under Armour paying them X million dollars versus less from another outfitter, you know, would cause the lights to go, you know, get turned off or whatever. So I want something that looks cool. That helps you in recruiting and, you know, makes some noise. And I think Adidas would do that.
Well, I like the thought of being the first school wearing Mahomes' stuff.
I mean, that would be big news.
Yep. Like you said the other day, that would, this town would be draped in that stuff quickly.
I mean, kids would be going to prom in PM5 gear. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Getting married, babies swaddled with it in the hospitals at Covenant and UMC. Bobby Hot Dog says, I think TTU should sign with Pony.
Well, we did that in 90, 91, 92. Coach Dykes knew a guy. Evidently, there was a contact, an old friend, and so we were...
That always turns out well.
We were a Pony school. Yeah, and it was... I can remember our guys coming in the weight room. You know, and they weren't in the weight room for treatment. They'd come in and get their sheet and do their work or whatever. They'd be sitting around griping about their foot, maybe come in the office and pull the shoe off. And I can remember seeing one of them on the ball of his foot that had a... I'm holding up a circle about the size of a silver dollar, just a flap of skin that he kind of peeled up and then put it back down. Those dudes used to cry at this time of year. Those shoes were breaking in and them getting used to it. I mean, they used to be in some agony. I don't know how long that lasted. I just know that it was during my years on the strength and conditioning graduate student staff. And those, I see those guys today, a bunch of my friends of mine, see them around
all limping around, well, crutches, did, wheelchairs,
somewhere in there the conversation would get around to the shoes, like, oh god, you know. And they might have been fine once, I don't, we need to go back and look at old photos and see who, you know, they may have all been fine once they got into game mode, but that first week when they're all in agony anyway.
Oh, man.
Feet are beat up and all that. And those dudes had these blisters that were like...
No wonder you lost all those early games. Yeah, like that's Penn exactly State and Miami and stuff.
Gimping around. Yeah.
This from the chat line, 80. So you think they're actively considering Mahomes' brand. I have no idea if the Pat Mahomes stuff is even like on the table or viable for a team apparel deal. I have no idea. We're just kind of looking at, okay, well, he has his own brand. He's important to Adidas. And they've you know, transitioned Jordan brand into outfitting stuff for teams at Nike. So maybe Adidas could do the same. And if they were to do that, no school makes more sense to do that than Texas Tech. I do think that Adidas is in play. Absolutely.
It'd be pretty cool. I mean, obviously Mahomes has kept his relationships around here, and it's a good one. So the thought that he might give a nod to the execs at Adidas to say, hey, don't you work with my boys here. They're looking for a brand, and this is a perfect place.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Sam, Jordan brand would be sweet. Yeah, I think it'd be really funny if K-State wins to Under Armour, because there's really nothing of, like, I mean... They don't strike me as an Under Armour program. I mean, Notre Dame, I guess, doesn't either. But, you know, they're very kind of like, and this is not a slight. It's not a crack or a joke. It's just, you know, they're the team. They're the football team of Bill Snyder, right? They're the Chris Kleiman. They're the out-discipline, out-work you team.
Right.
And, you know, that's not very flashy. That's not very, like, you know, cutting edge or whatever. And for them to transition to Under Armour, I think would be very funny.
You know, we talked about probably in the, if I had to guess, this was back in March, maybe April. We talked about the possibility of, you know, if Calipari were to leave or, you know, just sort of flatten out at Kentucky and he moves on. Our conversation one day was who would be a candidate to replace him. And I put Tang on that list. I'm probably not a big surprise there, but I would think that there's nothing but good from him toward, you know, his situation there at K-State. But something like this is one of the things that probably sticks in the back of a coach's mind, like, that's a problem. Small problem. It's like having our game streamed instead of on linear TV. Like, not what I want. Not, you know, especially for him being a Nike school, you didn't really have to even discuss apparel. And now he'd be like, ooh, we wish we went from Nike to Under Armour. That's
Steph guy. He's pretty good, huh?
Big deal. It's a big deal in the, yeah, that's a, but it's a big deal in that basketball world. And you've illuminated that to me. I wouldn't know it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're K-State, you're trying to build toward being a contender, you don't need more obstacles. You need fewer. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T973.com. All guests appear via the Visual Edge IT hotline. There is a commitment being announced today by a five-star prospect named Williams Nwaneri. I might have mispronounced that last name.
Mjolnir.
No, it's definitely not Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
He is, top five prospect nationally. He's a defensive end out of Missouri, St. Louis, to be more precise.
Missouri.
And there's an interesting dynamic at play here. Missouri is involved. I mean, I think Missouri, Oklahoma, Oregon, Tennessee, and Georgia are the top five. And I think most people would tell you it's going to be either probably Missouri, or Oklahoma. And he is literally in the process of announcing right now, if he hasn't just already done it. I don't know that he's announced it yet. But either way, interesting dynamic at play here. NIL related. The state of Missouri... Let me pull up the law. Let's see. All right. There is a new law in the state of Missouri that allows high school athletes in the state to earn endorsement deals, NIL deals, once they sign an agreement with an in-state university. So, D1 wise, at least in terms of football, it's going to be Missouri, right? I guess like what there's D2 colleges,
yeah, Missouri State,
Southwest Missouri State, I guess FCS,
yeah. Which is Southwest Missouri State, so now Missouri State.
Okay,
but SEMO, yeah, it's there's definitely D1 and some other non-football.
But they're
sports,
probably but not yeah. like just swimming in NIL deals.
No.
This is essentially purely a device to enhance and juice the recruitment ability of Missouri to retain in-state prospects. Now, I think when most people read that law, right, or at least read a summary of the law, it goes, okay, well, once they sign an NLI, National Letter of Intent, in December or February, then they can start getting endorsement deals. Not true. Any agreement. It does not have to be an NLI. They can sign a financial aid agreement, I think starting September 1 of their senior year of high school. And so, if Williams Nwaneri, or whatever, commits to Missouri, and I guess he's having some technical issues with his announcement video, which, you know, very 21st century.
Yeah.
he could potentially start getting checks from essentially Missouri or its boosters in like 3 weeks.
Golly.
Stack about that paper. No 401k for a hustler. Oh, heck yeah. It's like on ESPN2 right now.
Yeah, that and with the portal the way it is, why not go ahead and sign up for a little bit of that and then not happy after a year, move along.
Well, and I mean, how about this? If you wanted to be very kind of, underhanded, these technically can't be inducements, right? They're technically, they're technically paying him for the, the raw endorsement power that a high school football player possesses in the state of Missouri, which I'm sure is just you know, magnificent. Mm-hmm. And so he could change his mind. A financial aid agreement is not binding.
Move over, Mahomes.
Right. So he could flip to Oklahoma in December or in February and just laugh all the way to the bank.
It would be kind of funny to see them pull the, but you signed your financial aid agreement right here, ink to paper.
What do you mean?
Well, like if
trying to hold him to it. If he backed out and moved it to December, switched his commitment. Yeah.
So I'm surprised that more programs or more states haven't done this. Although I guess Missouri is somewhat unique in that they're the only FBS show in town.
It's thinly veiled, to say the least, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's Lee's Summit is where the young man's from. That's out there in Chuck Hines country, I believe.
Oh, is that not St. Louis?
No, Kansas City, yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, that's okay. I was operating off of St. Louis, too, and
It is Missouri. Missouri. So
Missouri. There it is.
Might be getting some checks here for too long.
Stack that paper.
Stack that paper. No 401k for a hustler. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. K-State is more like a New Balance and members only school. Is that your burner, Clint?
No comments.
It's Chuck's.
That was beautiful, though. That was really well put.
Somebody has this. I didn't even know Mahomes had his own signature brand until you mentioned it. If that's the case, I don't know why we're still talking about it. Let's get it done. This in the chat line. K-State would have to go to Reebok. That's what Snyder supposedly had a storage unit full of.
Bill Snyder's like me. Unit they're ready to equip.
Do either of you remember the Shaq Reebok shoes that were like the black and white circles?
Mm-mm.
I had those in sixth grade.
Nice. Did you have big? Are you about to tell us about the big blisters?
They looked ridiculous on me.
When you played defense, were those what you played defense in?
Going to private church school in sixth grade. you know, with those honkers on.
No wonder he wears open-toed shoes every day now.
Yeah,
open-toed footwear.
Probably claustrophobic at this point.
He was scarred.
His nickname was Snow Boots growing up.
When he goes into therapy and lays on the couch, you know, it all traces hats, back to sixth grade shoes.
The people wear, you know, like the really big kind of the big hats. That's how I feel like those shoes were.
You mean like a Gilligan, bucket?
It's like the current trend where it's a baseball cap, but
it's
like
gigantic.
Like the cartoonish. Yeah.
So you were like wearing clown shoes.
It was ridiculous.
How did you walk? Did you trip a bunch?
No, not any more than normal. This in the chat line, I just tuned in. Is AD big mad that Tech didn't get in the top 25? I mean, it's a little bit dulled my anger by the fact that you are in the coaches poll. And even though the AP poll is generally my preference, you know, you're ranked in one of the polls.
Used to be the preference.
Right. Yeah. Old and busted. Coaches poll, new hotness. But yeah, no, I think it's silly. I think that's because, I mean, Brent Murphy had him 11th. You know? And listen, they won 8 games last year. They beat teams that were, you know, relevant for one reason or another. They returned basically everybody. They won, 4 games in a row in the season and didn't have their first-round pick for most of those wins, including the bowl game, including the game against Oklahoma, including the game that might have been the most impressive of them all, the win in Ames. So it's not like you can say, well, they're going to miss Tyree Wilson. Well, they didn't have him for the last third of the year, fourth of the year. So, I'm not big mad. I'm just medium mad.
Yeah, quarterback back, head coach, coordinators, all of the things have stayed the same in a way that you know, when you look at these sort of things and Now they got a ton of transition. They've had a bunch of turmoil or whatever. Our slate's fairly clean.
And to be clear, I'm not bothered or irritated because, you know, oh, you're not being respected or, you know, it's about being in the club, so to speak, to begin the season affords you an advantage that you don't have if you're not, in that you can kind of build up some equity, build up some goodwill, and not just crash out with one loss. Whereas now, if you go 1-1 in the first 2 weeks, you're unranked going into week three, and at that point, it's impossible almost to kind of sustain it. More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear what you have to say today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Visual Edge IT hotline. Derek has this. What I don't like about the poll is that it's self-fulfilling. These teams are in the top 25 because they spent time in the top 25, and they beat these other teams in the top 25 who were in the top 25 for the same reason.
Aim, look, where is our two wins down the stretch that nobody gives us credit for last year? Ole Miss and...
Ole Miss is like, 22nd. Oklahoma is 20th.
There you go. When we were getting beef for, and this is just more social media beef, but sure, when we were getting beef last, you know, getting picked at for being 24th or whatever in the coaches poll. Like, yeah, what'd you guys do down the stretch? I beat OU and Ole Miss, who happened to be ranked ahead of us here in this here poll that you're denigrating. So why are we having this conversation? If you're really going to go pick at somebody, wouldn't it be the 6-7 Sooners? Now, yeah, it is about what's ahead and not what has already happened. I understand that. But
the Oklahoma thing, I don't understand. And I really don't understand the Ole Miss thing either. Because they completely collapsed, did the Rebels. They just collapsed down the stretch. That is not the sign of some kind of pending renaissance. Look at Texas Tech in 2013, right? You lose your last five games, and heck, they won their bowl game, and then they were terrible in 2014. I don't get that at all. Sure, they've got a stacked quarterback room. You're only going to play one of those at a time, unless you're Zach Kittley. You know, like, how does that really help you? Their running back is really, really good, no doubt. But again, just, like, collapsed down the stretch. And then Oklahoma, like, to me, Oklahoma is, that is the ultimate helmet move. Maybe our friend Sooner Lubbock can check in and say, well, actually, no, they've done this, and this, which is, but, I mean, Dylan Gabriel was pretty good last year, right? It's a good thing to kind of hang your hat on. That defense was awful. It was awful. And that was under Brent Venables, right? I realized he was new, first year. But, I mean, they were bad. They were terrible. And suddenly, oh, Brent Venables is going to fix it. And it's Oklahoma's. Yeah, that part makes no sense.
He was part of the problem last year.
And then Iowa. Iowa can't score a freaking touchdown. Putting them at 25th is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And plus, like, you know, they're losing players left and right to betting scandals or whatever. Give me a break.
The Oklahoma thing was interesting, too, because remember, it's like, well, you know, through the first six games, it's a complicated, you know, scheme defensively. Well, did it get easier, or did they get players that could understand it better? Because that did not, that had so much to fix, especially by the end of the season where they were just falling apart. Like, I don't see how that can be that. It has to be dramatically better because it was so bad last year. And you're, oh, it's the scheme. Well, that's why he's there. Teach him the scheme. Or change it.
Yeah, I think they'll, I mean, their schedule's so soft, it's going to be hard for them to screw this one up. this year, and part of that is them obviously not playing Georgia, but they were perhaps gift wrapped a schedule this year from Big 12, which I doubt that was intentional, but it just happened. That's the problem with not playing everybody, right? Everybody wants a big conference, but there's going to be people that play tough schedules and people that play easier schedules.
Well, and heck, that's all based on what we think we know.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Val. Not knowing that much about sponsorships, who is the other big player besides Nike? Does Nike only want the big-name schools' teams? And the K-States of the world fall to the lesser company? It's basically Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. I mean, there's, you know, a small player here and there. I think Boston College maybe is like that, or some, like, you know, one of those ACC programs. Georgia Tech was with Russell Athletic for a long time. But essentially it's Nike, Adidas, and then Under Armour. And no, Nike doesn't just want the big name schools. I mean, Nike was outfitting, I mean, heck, I think Houston is Jordan brand.
TCU as well.
Yeah. And while TCU did play for a national championship last year, it's not like they're filling up a 60,000 seat stadium. Mm-mm. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, 80, it's starting to sound like you are medium to large man. I'm just talking myself into it, actually. Yeah, so I wasn't really that bothered with it when I saw the news this morning, or I guess this afternoon. It came out at noon. But now that I'm talking about it, I'm getting more bothered. And again, because it's like, I don't care if some college football writer in Minnesota thinks Tech is the 20th best team in the country entering the season or the 28th. Like, it doesn't bother me. You know, one of the best lessons that I have ever learned, and I unfortunately learned this far too late, at least in my opinion, is that it is very freeing to allow yourself a pass to let people be wrong on the internet about things and not feel the need to, like,
get worked
correct yeah. everything that you view as an error, whether it's a, you know, error in fact or opinion. And so, you know, again, what some sports writer in South Carolina thinks about Tech could not care less, literally could not care less. But how it affects Tech moving forward is the prism through which I'm viewing this. And if you were in the club when you start the season, it's a lot harder to get tossed out of the club. And when you do get tossed out, it's easier to get back in. And what I mean by that is, if you were ranked 22nd to start the season, say for example, and you beat Wyoming and then you lose to Oregon in week two, and of course that won't happen, but just hypothetically, then you might be a fringe top 25 team going into week three. Right, maybe you fall out, but you're right on the edge. Well, then you beat Tarleton, and some upsets happen in front of you, and you're back in. And then, you know, you win in Morgantown, hopefully, and you climb up a bit further. So, again, you get some cushion that you aren't provided otherwise. Because once October starts and then you get into November, hopefully I'm wrong, but it's not like you're just expecting to kind of rattle off some four-game winning streak. It might be kind of up and down, up and down.
He's got him blocked.
We're going streaky!
Okay.
He's got a mental block on that one.
So.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of TT973 podcasts at TT973.com.